The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening right now, send her an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone to joining me once again this evening on Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101, where each Monday we discuss down-to-earth tips and tricks and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. And I really look forward to talking and finding new topics to talk about and new guests to invite to the show. And I am looking forward to this upcoming season. One of the biggest things, trends that I noticed last season was the topic of outdoor kitchens. And I'm really looking forward to our guest this evening. We are joined by David Pierce, design consultant with myoutdoorkitchens.ca. So we're going to learn from David all about outdoor kitchens. Originally from Toronto and living in Burlington, David graduated from York University and then went on to Ryerson and graduated in landscape architecture. So he's much better at math than I am. He's worked as an estimator for a landscape company for a few years and worked in precast concrete industry for 10 in sales and worked for Unilock Paving Stones for 12 years. This is his third year for the My Outdoor Kitchens company, specializing this growing market in outdoor kitchens. As a new company, they've had many shifts on how they envisioned their business would evolve, and it's continuing to evolve. They are a Lynx grill dealer, but will design and fabricate the frame to suit any built-in grill. My Outdoor Kitchens has two frame systems that David is going to tell us all about tonight. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Well, like I mentioned in my opening there, congratulations on the business timing of creating this business, because I think the in thing is definitely outdoor kitchens.
Yes, there's no question about it. Obviously, I watch the garden shows and things just like everybody else does, mm-hmm. look at magazines, and there's no question the trend is going that way. And there's a lot of money being spent in the renovation of homes and backyards, and there's lots of statistics to back all of those sort of things up right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Even just last year for me, it was a really big jump even if we installed two of them, not necessarily your products, but mm-hmm. Complete kitchens in their backyards, clients' backyards. And a lot more wanted them in their design. So they weren't maybe necessarily ready to commit yet, but they wanted to account for the space and figure out how it would all look to come together. So that's the nice thing about a landscape design. It's often, a 2 or 3 year plan for my clients, right?
Well, that's right. Especially if you can put in the utilities, the gas mm-hmm. and the electrical in advance of, you know where it's going to go ultimately. And if you just run the conduit and things so that when you know, whether it's a year or 2 years down the road, you have the that equipment, the gas lines and things in place so that it makes the costs go down significantly than having to run the lines again. And it cleans it all up as well if you can do it when you're doing your other landscape work initially.
Yeah, exactly. Because, and I always say my great landscapes start with a great plan, because there's no sense, you know, having to, if you don't plan it, then you're undoing something to redo something, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And it's good for the contractors as well, because if they've done a good job on the first phase of the project, there's an excellent chance they'll probably get to do the second or third phase of the project as well. So it kind of spreads their workload out as well as, you know, realizing people do have budgets.
Yeah, for sure. And I think someone was saying to me today that it's going to continue to grow, because with the housing prices here in the GTA, nobody can afford to move.
No.
So everybody's putting their money into their homes, right? And if they're putting their money into their backyards, they want to extend the season and extend the uses. And I think an outdoor kitchen is really a big trend.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people actually, you know, off of the patio or whatever, they're extending the roof line as well, and they're starting to enclose or at least make it more of a four-season type backyard situation, and to the point where they're even putting in heating in that as well. So it's becoming much more elaborate, and also the, you know, the cost of cottages and things, a lot of people are taking that maybe $150,000 or $200,000 and putting it into the backyard.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock on Friday, they're at the cottage already. They just open the doors and they're ready to make use of the property right away.
Yeah, that is so appealing. We are not a cottage family, so so that is very appealing. I know in my research and our discussions, you offer two systems. So I thought we'd start with the first system that it can be for DIYers, which those people that want to kind of install it themselves.
Sure. There's a lot of people, like you say, who, you know, on some of the finishing systems, I mean, this isn't rocket science. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of detail depending on how much you want to get into it. But we found over the course of the last couple of years that while everyone likes what we do in terms of our what we call professional line, the costs are expensive in terms of finishing it. We do a lot of wood or stone, natural stone, and some of those products get very pricey. So this year we introduced a system where we build a frame to the customer's specification.
Okay.
They tell us what type of barbecue grill they want to use, where they want to place it. We prepare a shop drawing for them for approval, and then we'll fabricate it. The steel is galvanized and then cold galvanized painted. We put a concrete board on it, and they have leveling feet on them as well, stainless steel, so that if you're setting the frame on a interlocking stone patio, which probably is going to be up and down a little bit, you can adjust the feet so that you can get it level, and then they can finish it, whether it's themselves, a friend, or if it's a contractor. They typically they're going to put some sort of a thin stone veneer on the face of the product, and then they can use again whatever type of surface, a granite or natural stone countertop.
Okay. Now, how does the process start? Like, where do you...
Well, typically these islands are generally going to be probably not, you know, significantly large. They're going to be maybe in the 6 to 12 foot range. They can be L-shaped or galley style kitchen.
Okay.
But so they basically, if they come up with a footprint, and then if they specify where they want their equipment, we'll suggest to them that if we don't maybe think the barbecue is too close to another appliance, we'll make suggestions to the customer and say, you know, you should consider maybe a plate area space. And typically you want anywhere from 18 to 24 inches between the different pieces of equipment so that there's room to place things down there. So that's why we always do a shop drawing, so that if they insist on a certain type of layout and that, and that's what they want, you know, in spite of our recommendations, that's fine.
Okay.
As long as they've signed off on it, there's no problem. We'll build it to that specification. On our website, we have quite a bit of information in terms of things to consider. Seating is obviously a big thing. A lot of people think because you can put a a table and four chairs on a 10 by 10 patio that's large enough. Well, it really isn't.
Yeah.
Because by the time you move your chairs off and someone's going to be on the grass or whatever. So
yeah, that's why it's important to have a whole, like, look at the whole landscape, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the sun, there's lots of things that need to be considered, you know, and so that's why it's always good to, you know, hire a professional designer as well to consider all the different components of the landscape and make sure that it's been laid out properly. And we typically do not go out for a site visit when we do the DIY line.
Yeah.
And again, if they send us pictures, we'll certainly make comments and suggestions and whatnot. But it's just, we service, it's a pretty broad area, and it's difficult for us to get everywhere to look at every site-specific situation.
Okay. So would you, me as a landscape designer, would I send, if I sent you my design and I kind of had the footprint or the layout, you know, from above type of thing of the outdoor kitchen, that's something that you would, you know, do your recommendation on whether?
Sure, absolutely. And we would say, you know, we would say, yeah, it looks like a good spot or whatever. And from foot traffic point of view as well, you know, and just say that, you know, the big part obviously is the utilities, how far the gas is going to have to come. Because the gas, you know, we always use a licensed gas in installers.
Yep.
And, you know, those things aren't cheap, just like the electrician. So we want to try and make, you know, locate everything, you know, if we can do it close as possible to the connections, as well as making it work with the design. And we do, you could say the drawings, we do our 3D drawings.
Okay.
So the homeowner gets an idea of what it's going to look like as well from a three-dimensional, because a lot of people can't see three-dimensional, so three-dimensional is a lot easier.
Okay. So you would provide those, like, as far as, like, the construct, when you said shop drawings, do you mean, like, construction drawings?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So you would take my stuff and can convert it into construction?
Yeah, or we would just send you a 3D drawing, and you can attach it to yours if you want, or just have it as an attachment to your drawing.
Okay. We do have a question here from Andy. He is saying these outdoor kitchens are just like having another room attached to the house. Are there any stipulations from towns and cities for building them?
You have to be, the barbecue itself has to be, I believe, 18 inches away from the facade of the house.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, obviously if it's brick, it's not as big a deal, but if it's wood or stucco or something like that, and the same thing applies with wood fence. You have to be so if you're, you know, on smaller properties, you might be adjacent to a wood screen or something like that.
Okay.
And again, you have to be 18 inches away from the from that, if anything flammable. And it's really important that a lot of contractors and homeowners can build the, or will consider building these grill islands out of wood.
Mm.
Doesn't matter what kind of wood they use. Those are flammable products. I say that's why we do all steel with concrete board. None of these materials are flammable. And every barbecue vents a little bit differently. They're not all the same. Some internally ventilate, some ventilate themselves from the top. So it's very important that they keep these, you know, factors in mind. And we've got one job to do where, you know, there's a $6,000 barbecue that caught on fire because the contractor had built the whole frame system out of timbers. And it lasted for about 3 years, and then all of a sudden it caught on fire. And luckily, there was no damage done to the house.
Yeah.
But the ventilation is very important on any of these sort of things.
Because the two that my contractor did this past year, they did do it out of wood, but then they had to coat the whole wood frame with that fireproof, kind of a fireproofing material.
I'm not sure if that would meet code or not.
Okay.
So, you know, some of the fire, the grills, like the Lynx does have an insulated fire jacket so that, and you can, that would wrap around the box itself. But they're expensive too.
Yeah. You know, they were too. Yeah.
Yeah. You look at those things and then before you know it, you say, well, why don't we just build it out of steel and, you know, the concrete board, and then you don't have an issue ever with the fire. And the other thing with using timbers is any wood is going to absorb moisture and throughout the season, in the spring, the fall, and the winter. And as it expands and contracts with the moisture levels in the air, your doors and that are all attached to those timbers. And so that means the gap between the doors is going to open and close. And there's probably going to be a time when they're not going to close properly, because the gapping in a door is typically very tight between the two doors. So it's really important. That's why, you know, wood isn't a great product because of the expansion and contraction of the material itself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's following up with another question asking about permits. So are permits required?
Not as far as I know.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think so either. Yeah.
No. So, I mean, it'd probably be worth, you know, because there's so many different municipalities involved, it would be difficult to find out. I know when I was with Unilock, they had a barbecue and a fireplace system, and we did some investigation in terms of whether the municipality would allow open fires in the GTA, and it's very hard to find out and to get an answer.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, for the most part, it's illegal, and the fire department doesn't allow it. And, you know, the idea of keeping the package of hot dogs beside the open flame, and if the fire department comes, doesn't hold water.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, you can't have open flames.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm aware, now, if you have an overhang on your gazebo or your roof line or something, you may need ventilation in that case, because of the gases emitted by the barbecue itself.
Right.
So, you'd have to be careful on that, and that's a building code.
Yeah, and I think then it becomes like a permit for that structure and that overhang.
Yes.
You know, and just in my experience, that's more. And gas, I mean, I'm surprised by the 18 inches, because that doesn't even seem that far, really.
No.
You know?
A lot of them are built closer. And I think it's okay. It just depends on the flammable material.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, sometimes, you know, you get grease fires and that, and the flames can, you know, be quite high.
Yeah.
And I think they worry about windows or soffits and things like that that are overhanging.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I could see that for sure. So when someone comes to you, so just going back to the process a little bit.
Sure.
Let's say with my landscape design in hand, and they kind of show you the footprint of what they want as far as an outdoor kitchen goes. Now, is there an upfront cost to the design that you provide, or is that kind of included in the buying of the frame?
Yeah, it comes included. Basically, what we do is we charge per lineal foot, and then and it's $325 a lineal foot for the island itself, and then $150 for each opening that has to be created in this. So on an 8-foot island, you're probably going to just have the barbecue. Maybe, you have to have a set of access doors below the barbecue so that you have your gas, and if there's any power involved, you need the access down below. And, you know, and then maybe you have a side burner or something. So you'd have three openings there at $150 each, would be another $450 on top of whatever the length of the island is.
Okay.
Times the $325. So it's pretty easy to do. And then once we get a deposit, we'll do a drawing up, get you the homeowner or somebody, a representative, to sign off on it.
Okay.
And we'll fabricate it. And generally, it's a 2 to 3 week turnaround.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
Yep. Yeah. They're, you know, we get pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Because that's all we do. You know, we've had people, I remember a client that talked to us last year, and he said that was a big concern of his, because there's a lot of people who will build these, but this is all we do. You know, we do a bit of woodwork as well, like, you know, for trellises and things like that. But 99% of our work is on the kitchens themselves.
Wow, that's great. And is there a warranty? So obviously galvanized steel, it's not going anywhere.
No.
So
yeah,
do you even need to warranty it?
No, there really isn't a warranty. And I mean, because if we supply wood and granite, we can't be responsible
for
man-made products or whatnot, you know, natural products that, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So as you say, the different systems maybe have slightly different warranties in terms of what happens. But as I say, these are this DIY system has the quarter-inch concrete board on it, so that the contractor or homeowner can put the Mason Bond 400, the bonding agent for the natural stone or the thin stone veneer, and attach the stone right to the barbecue frame itself.
Okay. Now, are you finding, I know you said you've been around for 3 years, but have you finding, are you having clients find you directly, or are you finding it's more contractors that are coming to you?
It's kind of everywhere. We do a lot of advertising. Well, we get a lot off the website. We get lots of hits out of the United States.
Okay.
But it's too far.
Yeah.
And but we do, you know, the National Home Show. We do several contractor-based trade shows. We also do work with landscape architects, and, you know, we'll do presentations for them. We're pricing condo work all the time. So it's quite a wide range of people who we're dealing with, really.
Okay. And are you finding, I know you say it's custom for the DIYers especially, but are you finding, I would think they're genuinely looking at kind of almost like cookie cutter, like the same, it's, you know, a typical eight, like you said, 8 foot, you know, two, is it, or are they?
But where the customizing comes in is that we, you know, we'll put in whatever type of barbecue they want.
Okay.
You know, like, as you mentioned earlier, we do work with Lynx and Sedona. Those are very high-end barbecues,
mm-hmm.
and versus you can get, there are some other suppliers. Napoleon has a, you know, a barbecue that comes in somewhere around $1,500. So we'll build the openings or create the openings to the customer's request of whatever type of equipment they want to use.
Oh, okay.
And because these are very, we try and make sure that our frame, most of the barbecues are, all the weight of the barbecue is on about a half inch lip that goes all around the three sides of the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the weight of that barbecue is then put onto the countertop, and some of these materials are very strong in compression, but they're not so good in shear, which means that if you don't have your steel support right underneath the weight, potentially that barbecue could fall right through the granite or whatever could
really?
Collapse.
Wow.
And the barbecue could fall right through. So
okay.
We want to make sure that these things are pretty much custom fitted, and you know, there's going to be performance there. There's not going to be an issue for anybody down the road.
Right. Okay.
And that kind of leads into maybe why we believe it's worth putting in the best kind of barbecue you can afford. Because
okay.
if you put in a barbecue that is not a good barbecue, you may have to change that barbecue out in 3 or 5 years. Well, you're probably going to end up having to put the same barbecue back in, because unless you're prepared to have somebody come and cut the granite out and cut the steel frame out and move everything, you're kind of stuck with the same barbecue forever. So
I see.
That's why, you know, again, when we talk to people, we recommend or suggest that put in the best barbecue. You know, the doors and things like that aren't as important, and they're not functional as like the barbecue is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better off to put the money into the good barbecue.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that point for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that. So now, I was wondering if there were, you know, kind of typical standard layouts, but I guess if everybody's choosing a different barbecue and different, you know, whether it's a fridge or a sink and that type of thing, even though it's the same size, generally like the same 8 foot by 3 foot footprint, mm-hmm. It really is custom.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So that's why there's probably at least one or two other systems out there that they have standard boxes. And then you just fasten them together or whatever, and that creates the basis of your grill island itself. But, you know, we just feel that this gives us, you know, the customizing capability, you know, because sometimes we'll have overhangs on the edges, on the ends of the counter. Sometimes they're across the length of the counter for overhang for seating. So there's just so many things that,
right.
that can be done,
mm-hmm.
and you have to account for all these different options.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And where are they made?
We're making them up in Steeles and Dufferin in Toronto.
Oh, okay, excellent. So they're
yes.
made locally, so which is, I guess that's the reason why you can turn them around, right? You're not having
yeah.
to get them shipped in from somewhere.
No, that's right, yeah. We build them. And they come out pretty quick, you know, so.
That is great. And do you deliver them directly, or the customer arranges to pick them up, or?
Either or.
Okay.
You know,
it's, so you're flexible.
You know, so it's whatever kind of works and, you know, what's convenient for everybody. But there's obviously a charge if we have to bring it down.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times guys are kind of running around anyways, and they can swing by and just put it in the truck or trailer.
Yeah, and pick it up. So when you're working with contractors, do you find, have you developed, let's say, some authorized, you know, programs, you know, so that you can refer
yeah.
clients to an authorized contractor?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, we obviously try and coordinate, you know, with the homeowner as well, but especially with the contractor, to make sure in terms of where the gas is going to come out, say if it's coming up through the ground or whatever, you know, if they've had to run underground lines underneath the interlocking stone. And again, all of that, the gas lines are all supposed to be 18 inches below grade as well, so that the line can't get punctured and we have a major gas leak or something. So, you know, and again, they should be done by licensed or certified contractors as well. So we try to coordinate with the homeowner, the contractor, whoever's doing the work, to make sure that, you know, we give our best knowledge so that the project goes smoothly and everything's being done, you know, properly.
Yeah, yeah. And that you, even though that sounds like very simple, that little paragraph that you just said,
yeah.
I know, being a landscape designer and kind of doing some project management, you know, in what I do, that's a big deal. Like coordinating that, you know, the gas guy and the contractor and who's got the, you know, and inevitably rains, right? This is what happened to us, you know, at both times, you know, the gas guy is scheduled to show up on a day and then the yard is a mud pit for the little excavator, and you know, so so for homeowners listening, it never sounds that smooth.
No,
right,
that's right. Well, and that's why, you know, if the date is the, you know, 2 weeks down the road, and you know what, if we have it and it sits for a few extra days, that's okay. We'd rather have it that way than the other way where we're behind and holding up the project. So as I say, we do our best to try and accommodate everybody as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that would be, that's good, because like in a landscape design, once the design is kind of finished, then we could go right to the kitchen stage, right? And you can kind of prep that and order that and work out all those details. So really, if all things are planned out properly, going back to my whole great landscape, start with a plan, you should be way ahead of the gas guy and the landscaper, really.
Yeah, and there shouldn't be any issues, you know, you're right, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always kind of talking about that. And that's a great other valid reason for having a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend, because I think some of these layouts, well, I guess we can talk about the professional series, but I want to talk about, you know, the pergolas or the little roof. You know, some people want a little roof over there, maybe not from the house, but like a little roof over their barbecuing area.
Sure.
Is that something you involve in your drawings at all, or are you just strictly the kitchen?
Well, we pretty much do the kitchen, but I mean, if it's something that's not overly involved, and you know, it's going to take us a week of on-site work, we'd probably pass on that.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, the details of the posts and everything else would have to be, you know, a significant consideration when we're building this, in terms of, you know, is it going to be, you know, attached to our frame? Is it going to touch the frame and or the veneers and things like that? So we would certainly want to make sure we'd had some input in terms of how that all kind of worked together, so that, again, there's not going to be an issue down the road of where, you know, perhaps the pergola or whatever wasn't properly built or whatever, and then somehow impacted the outdoor kitchen as well. So.
Right. Because, that was one of the challenges I had with one of my designs, was that the space was very limited, where because the client wanted it right outside her door, which was, you know, the best place as far as the utilities go. But because of the steps, you know, she had to be able to come down the steps and still get behind the barbecue. And and so then, but yet not, she didn't want the pergola hanging out over the kitchen window. You know what I mean? So it was
kind of
I felt like we were moving posts like inches, you know, and 2 inches this way and 3 inches that way, and how to best attach it. And so it can get quite complex. It's not.
Yeah. I mean, we're always, you know, we would review drawings and that,
okay,
to give our input as to, you know, what might be a better solution that we've seen. You know, maybe the post gets built into the frame somehow, yeah. You know, and you just have to put a countertop to surround the post. You know, there's lots of different things, and we'd certainly be, interested in helping out in terms of making some comments on the design and that, or suggestions.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I think the service is great. I think contractors aside, I think I see a big advantage for even appealing to landscape designers, mm-hmm. Because you know it came out of nowhere in a way. Like, now I know it's come gradually, but you know, we've all of a sudden tried to get all that information, and it's really challenging. You know, to know, act professional, and provide your clients with the best practices. But yes. Really, it's when we need to hire the experts at that, uh-huh. and I think that you offer, that's a great service, and uh-huh. And I could see, you know, a really great partnership. So I will spread the word to my other landscape designer cohorts. So now the professional, then there's people who are not DIYers, obviously, uh-huh. and who want more of a turnkey product. So you also have your professional series. So can you tell us
what happens? Yeah. There is, and a lot of times, you know, we work with landscape architects and things like that, and we're involved in the design right at the beginning of the project, or, you know, close to the beginning, and we assist in the selection of materials for the veneer of the island itself. I say we do mostly wood. We'll do stone, but we kind of like the wood because typically you already have an interlocking stone pathway or patio with natural stone. You've probably, there's a good chance you've got stone or brick on the house.
Mm-hmm.
So the wood softens up the whole landscape, and there's some beautiful woods out there. Ipe is an exotic wood from South America.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very dense, and you have to pre-drill everything in order to get screws and things attached to it. So we assist with the material selection, the granite countertops, and then typically a lot of these people are interested in higher end barbecues, and they realize that it's a big step, but they're kind of spending so much money at this point. How do you stop?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these kitchens, typically the professional series will start somewhere for an 8-foot island. It's going to cost you somewhere probably around $15,000 with a Lynx barbecue. And we've done a couple of projects that have exceeded over $40,000.
Wow.
And they put a pizza oven in. There's warming trays.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this equipment can be seen on our website with the pricing, so you get to see. And we encourage the homeowner or the designers to look at these, you know, the wish list of equipment and that, and you get to see what's available out there, and then you can go onto the Lynx Sedona website and see the products in more detail as well there.
Okay, that is really good. And with the pizza, is the pizza oven a separate frame?
Yes.
So it is a separate.
It sits on top of the barbecue itself, it sits on top of the grill island itself.
Okay.
And it's obviously gas, and I mean, even though it's called a pizza oven, a lot of people use it more as for doing roasts and things like that. It's an expensive way to do pizza, but they often they're used for other types of cooking as well.
Yes,
so there's a lot more that goes into it other than just that.
Okay, well that's good to know, because I know I have had a lot of people that ask for the pizza oven, thinking that they're just going to do pizza. And you're right, that's a pretty expensive investment for just doing pizza. But if they can also do other things, then that makes it a little bit more easier to justify.
Yes. Yes. And what we do is when we do one of the professional kitchens is that we will have if it's a Lynx set of equipment that is involved with the project, we'll have the Lynx reps. And that's why, again, we like Lynx, because they have a couple of reps in Ontario that are here. Most of the other companies don't have reps that are available in the province itself. So they have a great network for repairing equipment if it ever has to be done. They have several service reps in the different parts of the province, so that if we have something that happened in Kitchener, we have a guy and it can be fixed in 2 weeks or less, you know.
They
just have to get the part in or whatever, if that's what's involved. But the Lynx guys will actually come out and Give them some steaks and fish and whatever, they'll show you how to use the barbecues properly and to get the maximum use out of it. You know,
wow.
That's really important. The equipment is just, there are a lot of reasons why it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Their burners are guaranteed for life, and it's all the professional series is 304 stainless steel made in California. And the Sedona is a 201 stainless steel. So none of this stuff is going to rust. You can get parts for it, which is really important,
mm-hmm.
because there are a lot of Chinese barbecues and mm-hmm. things out there.
Yeah.
And as soon as I say to somebody, well, if you have a problem, what do? Where do
mm-hmm.
you get your parts?
Yeah.
And they just have a blank look on their
yeah.
face. So
yeah.
It's something to think about. You know, you'd hate to spend $2,500 on a barbecue that you think is really good, and then you find out you can't get parts for it. Because
yeah.
stuff does happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I don't know how, I know how many burners we've replaced over the years. So yeah, that can be tricky. So
yeah.
So starting with a professional series. So with that service, so like you said, you start earlier on in the process with the working with the landscape designer, landscape architect, and the clients, and then you finish it all. Like you were taking care of the countertop and the veneer and
yeah, we'll take care of and we say obviously the we go through, bring samples and get those approved. We do the 3D drawings with the finished surfaces are going to look like. We'll bring in some granite samples, and we use 3-centimeter granite for our countertops. Typically in your house, they're usually 2 centimeters thick.
Okay.
And some people will try, if you look at your own house, they've glued a profile onto the front. But the profile, that material doesn't last outdoors. So there's a good chance the material to give it that thick profile in the front is going to fall off. So
mm-hmm.
we use a consistent 3-centimeter slab all the way through. They're heavy. But, again, we don't want callbacks for problems and things like that.
Right.
So we'll go through that, say, get all the materials selected, and then, again, whether we're doing the gas work or whatever, we'll take care of the gas with licensed contractors.
Oh, that's a huge thing. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Is granite the countertop of choice or natural
yes.
stone or?
Granite is typically the... Most of the natural stone, like a lot of the natural stone countertops, they have maybe undulations in them.
Yes, yeah.
So
there's a rougher surface, yeah.
They get really dirty fast because there's any little dew or whatever. That means, airborne contaminants can land on it. So it's going to be on the surface and pretty hard to clean that stuff off. Sandstone products, there are some, you can get some nice limestone and things, Indiana limestone. But unless you seal them, when the grease gets on the product, they are very absorptive, and they're going to take in all the water, and it's going to leave stains, and whether it's wine or grease or whatever. So, and you can't use Corian in any man-made product. Again, it just won't take the freeze-thaw cycles
right.
that the weather up here
mm-hmm.
Puts on them. So granite is pretty much the product, or is perhaps a stainless steel countertop.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's another option for a real industrial look.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
But then having that stainless steel on top and then the wood framing would be a nice little contrast too.
Yes. We put, when we do the wood, we usually use a stainless steel corner. It's about
okay.
a 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch L bracket sort of thing that runs right down the length of the wood itself, the corner. And it really ties in everything with the stainless steel on the barbecue and whatnot. And we use it because it does look very good, but also when you use wood, you can get some checking or splitting on the ends of the wood.
Mm-hmm.
So this hides any potential splitting or whatever of the wood
yeah.
by being protected by the stainless steel corners.
Okay.
And again, these pictures are all on our website.
Excellent. So with this turnkey, with a professional mm-hmm. series, would you also then build the, like if there's a pergola going to be attached or a little roof attached to the barbecue or the outdoor kitchen, is that something you would also build?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, sure,
so,
absolutely.
Okay, because you make that way, that makes it all one
yeah.
project, right?
When we start, we want to start and finish.
Okay.
When we're doing these, we don't want to come back 2 or 3 different times. And, sometimes we have to, for the granite, come back. But we try to once we start a project, we want to kind of be there and make sure it's finished, and make sure everybody's happy, make sure the homeowner sees how the barbecue works and starts and where the shutoffs and things are, and we want to make sure it's complete.
Great. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really appealing to know that it's all going to be done, as opposed to, a lot of running around.
Well, there is a lot of running
around. Yeah.
And these are because, like you say, we've figured it all out, and we put these together with all stainless steel hardware, so there's not going to be any rusting or anything. So we go to great lengths to make sure everything's level and whatnot with the leveling feet. And we put in the Lynx barbecues all come with low voltage wiring so that they have these blue halogen lights on the handles, and they're very sexy.
Oh, excellent.
And, so anyways, we have to have power to the unit, mm-hmm. and then we'll usually have a GFI so that people can plug a blender in or, a radio or something like that. And they also have USB ports so that you can actually charge or use your phone as well. So, these are all some of the new pieces of equipment that are becoming available. So we're always looking for new material.
Yeah.
And we completed a project this past year where we used porcelain slabs for the veneer of the counter.
Oh, okay.
So it's different look.
Yeah.
And but they wanted a seamless look as well. So
okay.
Everyone has their own mm-hmm. different thing.
Yeah, which is nice, the way that you can customize it, right? That
yes.
really fits the whole look. So as a dealer with, being a dealer with Lynx, so that's, really seems like a good seamless partnership
mm-hmm.
to make the kitchens around the grills that you know a lot about.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the other stuff, they all have their pluses and minuses.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, we'll work with, we've done work with Wolf Kitchens, DCS, but again, given a choice, it's we think it's a very complete system too.
Yeah.
They have, obviously a variety of sizes of barbecues from 27 inches up to 52 inches.
Okay.
They have side burners, power burners, they have different types of garbage containers. So there's not just one type of container. It's a great range of products that they have available for the consumer.
Okay. And how about other accessories like sinks and little fridges?
Yes. Again, sinks handy. A lot of times sinks can be used. They're insulated as well.
Okay.
So that you can fill up full of ice and chill your beverage of choice down.
Oh, okay.
You just use a cold water. You don't put hot water.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really doing your dishes out there because you've got to drain this somewhere.
Yes.
And, you don't want to have all kinds of dirty dishwater being drained into your dry well or into the garden or anything like that. Refrigeration is, there's a lot of cheap refrigerators out there.
Okay.
To buy a good outdoor fridge is going to cost you a minimum of $1,500 up to about $6,000 or $7,000.
Wow.
And again, Lynx has a variety of different types of refrigerators. They have the beer kegs,
mm-hmm.
they have wine racks, they have dual zone refrigerators for different types of wines. Open glass face doors.
Okay.
So it's an expensive thing to get into.
Yeah. So that sink filled with ice sounds much more economical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to have, but again, it's when we're dealing with a certain clientele,
mm-hmm.
we're going to say some of the less expensive refrigerators, they just chill the beverages at the back of the fridge, so the stuff at the front's never really getting cold, especially if the door's being open and closed all afternoon long. So you get into some of the Perlick refrigerators or the high-end Lynx refrigerators, they'll cool the entire refrigerator down in about 45 minutes to the appropriate, 38 degrees or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they'll, all of the beverages in there will be the same temperature.
Okay.
So you don't have to get down on your hands and knees and fish around for the cold ones. So
yeah.
There's reasons why these things are so expensive. It's a better compressor and things
mm-hmm.
like that, which, that's what makes the difference.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, as you wrote here, you get what you pay for, right?
Well, yeah. But a refrigerator, the nice thing about a refrigerator is you know, you can always replace it, and hopefully the when you buy a new one, you know, it'll still fit in the opening in that, you know.
Yeah.
And if we know, we can build it such that if it was done in wood, the wood could cut back and you could put a larger refrigerator in.
Okay.
So,
something like that.
We've done that where the refrigerator hasn't even been installed initially. The customer's going to wait for a year or two, and then we cut the panel open later on, and then the fridge can go in. So,
okay. Well, that's a nice to
again,
know.
Again, it's just accommodating and working with people's budgets.
Yeah. Excellent. So let's talk about practical things. I can't believe our time is almost up. We've covered a lot, and I've learned a lot. I hope our listeners have as well. What area, so you're based in, what areas do you service the company?
Well, we go, we'll do obviously Niagara Peninsula because I'm down that way. We do, up to Kitchener, London. London's getting a little further away, but we'll obviously Toronto, out into Pickering, and up into cottage country as well.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it's a big territory. So you will come to my Durham region for me?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's good. So, yeah, I mean, but that is a pretty big zone to do.
It is, yeah. It's you know, it's a growing business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've learned over time how to ask all the appropriate questions. And, you know, we have the homeowner kind of do some of the groundwork in terms of trying to figure out what they want. And then we'll come in and help them out. It's I know when I was we were at Ryerson and doing landscape architecture there, one of the things you tried to do was get the customer to do some work about trees and things you like, but also trees and shrubs you don't like. So there's no point in guessing as to what people want, you know. So we try and let the consumer get a little bit involved in terms of the equipment, because that's the biggest, really the biggest decision part, the hardest to decide on. And then once they know the equipment and the price, then they know kind of what price range they're getting into, and then we can help lay it out in terms of making it work for them. And, you know, so that's how it kind of works.
Yeah, excellent. And so you're going to be at the National Home Show this March, right? Which is also in partnership with Canada Blooms. And I have a little doorstep garden there, a front yard, so I can't do a kitchen, but a front doorstep garden at Canada Blooms. So that is downtown, you know, it's that exhibition, right? Direct Energy. I still call it exhibition, which is, but, and it's a long 10-day show, but it is a national home show. So that's a good way for people who are, you know, curious about your products to come and take a look, right?
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. We're there all day and, you know, we like talking to people and telling them what we do. And I just say, I think once they understand the process, and it's amazing the number of contractors we talk to say, you know, we do our own, but, you know, the boss will he'll go to get some certain size of screw, and then the guys call him when he's halfway back, say, oh, we need this, and he gets back, and he has to go back out and get stuff, and they don't realize how much work is involved in all the different types of specialty equipment that you need in order to build these things and have them perform properly.
Yeah, exactly. And our listeners could find you, your website, which is myoutdoorkitchens.ca.
That's right.
Excellent. Is there any other trade shows you have coming up that are open to the public? Or
no, that's it. We did one, the Landscape Ontario Trade Show in January. Is to say, and then we're doing a few of the paving stone manufacturer trade shows for the contractors. And but as you say, my phone number is on there. We have a couple of 1-800 numbers there as well
on the website. Perfect.
And some of our do-it-yourself frames are going to be in some dealer locations, such as Parkview Building Supplies, Islington Nurseries.
Okay.
And they have FSI in Brampton. They have actual partially finished displays there. There's just one, but the homeowner or contractor can see how it kind of goes together.
Okay.
And they just give us a call and place the order through us.
All right. That's good. So, yeah, so we deal, everybody deals directly with you.
Yes, yeah. It just makes it easier.
Yeah, for sure.
We found it's trying to train everybody to know what we know is difficult. So we can get to the chase pretty quickly and get things figured out. And I think that's generally what people want, you know, whichever way they want, whether they want to do it themselves or whether they want us to do everything.
Okay. And do you have a showroom at all? Or
No, not really.
Okay.
We just have our shop.
Yeah.
And right now, anyways, and it's so difficult because there's just so many different things that we kind of get into discussions with links, and they like to obviously show all of their different types of equipment at a dealer showroom, and we say we build these frames for them, but I kind of, I'm always pushing, well, really, you just need to sell the vision or the dream of what this kitchen's like. You don't need to show all the equipment. Obviously, they're paying for it, so they want to show the equipment.
Yeah.
And you need to see it, I guess, to sort of understand what it's all about and everything. But I think generally we're just trying to sell dreams and envision yourself behind the grill or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't need all the equipment. But so... getting back to, it's just really difficult. There's so many different options that we could be available. We bring samples out to the customers for the wood and the stone and granite and things. So
that's good.
That helps them make the decision.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the website is very good, and that helps people. I think people are getting used to that now, where they can make those decisions off the website.
Yeah.
More versus having to touch, you know, feel and touch everything. So so that is good to know. Well, thank you very much, David. I learned a lot, and I think it's a great opportunity for contractors, homeowners, to check you out. And I think I love that it's metal, you can't beat that. And I see what you mean about making sure the barbecue. If you're going to go through all that work of doing an outdoor kitchen, then really consider the investment of a really good barbecue grill. So that it lasts. So thank you very much for joining me tonight.
Thanks, Joanne. Appreciate the time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I look forward to, I'll see you at Canada Blooms or at the home show in a couple of weeks or about a month away. And hopefully we can do some business together this year.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So have a great day.
Bye. Good night.
Bye. Well, there you go, everyone. I hope you learned as much as I did about outdoor kitchens. And I really like the idea that they have the two different price points, because not we all want turnkey, but we can't all afford turnkey. So,
I was on David's site there, my outdoor kitchens. And they do have some beautiful pictures of some of those kitchens. And, your mouth will water.
Yeah.
The thing is, some of them I can see how expensive they are. And even though a lot of us would like that, if you're going to do it right, but you're going to have to spend the money to do it right. You don't want to start a project like that and then have problems 4 or 5 months later, or can't use in the winter or gorgeous.
Yeah. I think it's something that if you're going to commit to doing something like that, then it makes more sense. Like even in inside kitchen, right? There's no cutting corners, doesn't get you anywhere.
No, it doesn't.
And I think especially outside when you're dealing with weather and our climate, you have to go with the good material. So it's good to hear about what his comments about going with granite and all the reasons why. And galvanized steel, like, that really makes a lot of sense.
Well, it does. Nothing will rust ever. And stainless steel as well.
Yes.
Both, but... that's what you want. You don't want to get anything that would rust, because then it's a lot of problems, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I know, I'm sure our listeners could, even Google it or look at, there's lots of ideas and samples and stuff on Pinterest, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are unfortunately a little Mickey Mouse and make it look a little too simplified. And that happens a lot with anything within the landscape.
Right.
There's a lot of, TV shows or websites that make it look so easy to do it yourself. But when you're dealing with gas and when you're dealing with water and when you're dealing with fumes or, ventilation, it really doesn't save you in the long run.
No, but you worry about a fire, asphyxiation. There's all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
So you want to do it legally and make sure. So hire a professional. If you want to, there are a lot of professionals that will work side by side with a homeowner.
Yes.
They'll say, sure, I'll let you do this part of it and everything, but we need to do this part.
Yes.
So, you can find a contractor like that if you want to be part of building it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so, I think that's great that they have both services, right?
Of course.
They'll work with the homeowner and the contractor, or they do it all themselves.
Right.
And I love that he reinforced the importance of having a plan, because once you have that plan and that layout and the landscape, and then you make sure that the kitchen's in the right spot, close, mm-hmm. Not 18 inches from yep. the house and close to the utilities. It really makes a big deal and really makes a difference. So I think that is great. And that they'll double check, that I can put the kitchen anywhere, but if it doesn't make sense,
sure,
then they have the expertise to get, advise me differently. So I think that
absolutely.
Is, that's great. So it's a great service and it sounds like a great company. So I am excited to learn more. And I think that's another great topic.
Yours?
Yeah, no room for mine.
No?
So, no.
Would you use it, though, if there was room?
I think so. I mean, yeah. I we've my husband, he's a big barbecuer. We've got the Broil King keg. And, he sure. He loves his smoker. So I think he would love it. But, it's unfortunately not on the list yet.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I should say it's on the list, but it's a little low.
Yeah, of course.
So priority-wise, but we'll get there. But I'm happy to have learned so much that I can help my clients. And it will be on for our listeners. It'll be on my website at downtoearth.ca. The recording will be there. So if you need to listen to it again, if you didn't catch all of it, thank you to Andy for those really good questions for us. And thank you very much for listening and joining me here on Reality Radio 101 and listening to Down the Garden Path once again. And stay tuned for next week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw. Right here on Reality Radio 101.